Good morning. Welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. I was very excited when I was approached for the opportunity to be here this morning, and I feel very honored to be up here today. My name is Lisa Gall, and these are my children, Marcus and Stephanie. Marcus, keep coming here. Just leave it. And Stephanie, you too, okay? Watch the corner. There you go. Okay. They're very excited to be up here. If we are playing the Mennonite game, my maiden name is Thiessen, and my parents are John and Trudy Thiessen, and I grew up in Niagara United Mennonite Church. We have been coming to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for a little over a year now. We want to thank you for embracing and welcoming our family here. My husband, Steve, and I feel very much at home here with our three children. Frank is at the back with Steve. He's still holding it together. If this is your first time being here today, welcome. We have a nursery at the back of the sanctuary for families with young children. And after the children's message today, we have another nursery open downstairs that's staffed by volunteers for children as young as one and up. Parents are asked to walk their children down and sign them in before returning upstairs for the remainder of the service. We will be sharing communion today following the message. Pastor Tim will provide more details later in the service. There are a few announcements to highlight. MCC's Grow Hope Niagara is an organization that is working to provide food for people who need it. On Sunday, October 15th, at 5:30 p.m., a 40th anniversary celebration with a fundraiser and a soup sandwich bun meal will take place at Violin United Mennonite Church. If you would like to attend, please contact Tom Neufeld. The contact details are in the bulletin. We have a community care donation bin in the church. Non-perishable foods and toiletries are always appreciated. And Bethany Mennonite Church is hosting a special concert on Wednesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. Again, the details are in the bulletin. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 25, 1-9. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, God, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Please bow for a word of prayer. Thank you that we can gather here today. Please strengthen us and restore us as we head into this week. Fill us with your peace as we move forward. May we show your love and grace onto others. Please speak through Pastor Tim this morning. Allow us to digest and understand what you feel you need us to hear about following your call. Amen.
Are there any children in the house this morning? I see some children, and I need you up here to bring more joy to our service. People love seeing you up here bouncing around and singing and doing rhythms for the next songs, okay? So grab a rhythm instrument. Thanks for coming to help us.
Good morning. Welcome. Can you please stand and join with us to sing the first song?
Helen needs to choose an instrument and stand close so that they can see you.
You can stay right here because it's time for the children's story. So come on and have a seat, and Aaron's going to tell you a story. And any other friends who want to join now can come up as well.
All right, I'm going to come to you guys over here. Okay. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. We're going to start off. We're going to play a game. We're going to play Simon Says. Everybody knows how to play Simon Says? Yeah? Okay, so what's going to happen is I'm going to say, Simon Says, put your hands on your knees. And then you put your hands on your knees, right? But if I don't say Simon Says, you can't do it, right? Only if I say Simon Says. So listen carefully, right? Okay. Simon Says, put your hand on your head. Simon Says, touch your elbow. Simon Says, put your finger on your nose. Simon Says, clap your hands. Simon Says, stomp your feet. Now, turn around. Oh, Marcus was going to do it. Marcus was going to do it. Okay, let's try again. Okay, that was pretty good. Simon Says, put your hands on your shoulders. Simon Says, grab your pinky finger. Grab your thumb. Oh, I saw a few of you do it. That was tough. I tried to trick you, but you did pretty good. Okay. Is it easy or hard to listen and follow instructions? Easy? Hard? What do you think? Easy? Does anybody think it's hard to follow instructions? I think it's hard to follow instructions. Sometimes it's hard, right? Sometimes it's hard to block out all the other stuff going on, right? There's a lot of people over here who are looking at you guys, right? There's your other friends around you, right? You might have seen your friend do something that Simon didn't say, but you just did it anyways because you saw your friend do it, right? That makes me think of Nehemiah. We're talking about Nehemiah, right? Last week, Nehemiah wanted to fix a ruined city. Do you remember that? So this week, Pastor Tim is preaching on the next part of the story. So Nehemiah has some instructions, but not the kind like Simon says. There are big changes, and not everyone's going to like the plan. But it says in the Bible that God put this on Nehemiah's heart. That means he got his instructions directly from God, right? Do you think God gives us instructions? What do you think? Yeah? Yeah? I think so. I think he does. He's always with us, right? And the instructions might not be in words, but I think he puts things on our hearts too, right? So just a feeling. You might feel that someone needs help or forgiveness, or you might have a bad feeling when you do something that isn't good, right? That's God giving us instructions. But just like Simon says, listening to God and following can be hard because there's so much going on. It's hard to block out all the other stuff and all the other things that we hear and just listen to God, right? But we can pray for help to do that. So let's do that now. Let's pray to God and ask for help to do that, okay? Can we pray together? Dear God, thank you for being with us always. Help us pay attention to the things you are putting on our hearts and to do good things. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thanks.
I think I have everything I need this time. You never know. Well, we're going to, just before we have our sharing time, we're going to do a land acknowledgement, and I have a statement here I'm going to read. On September 30th, 2021, it marked the first observance of a National Day for Truth and Reconciliation following the identification of unmarked burials of former Indian residential school sites. Recognizing this day was one of the first steps in a long journey toward understanding and meaningful reconciliation. May we prayerfully grow in our awareness of host peoples and the reality of settler colonialism, and nurture justice-based friendships. So this morning, we at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church make this small gesture, but a gesture nonetheless, this land acknowledgement, as we seek to prayerfully grow in our awareness of host peoples and the reality of settler colonialism and the nurture justice-based friendships as we pursue the costly path of Christ. The land on which we meet today is the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabe peoples, many of whom continue to live and work here today. This territory is covered by the Upper Canada Treaties and is within the land protected by the Dish with One Spoon Wampum Agreement. Today, this gathering places home to many First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people. Acknowledging this is a reminder that our great standard of living is directly related to the resources and friendships of the Indigenous people. Our Mennonite expression of the Christian faith is beautiful. It has many strengths, but it has been deeply impacted by colonial thinking and practices. Together, we need to rethink aspects of settler Christianity to discover a gospel that is more faithful to both host people and this home and native land that we endeavor to share. Now, this is still new for some of us, but this is an opportunity to share our joy and concerns. I do have a microphone, and I can even be the one who brings it to you. Oh, I know, it's like winning a prize. If you'd like to share something.
Morning. We have a concern that we'd like to share with our church family, and it's about our son Robert. He's 40 years old. He had a tumor removed in May, which at the time appeared to be non-cancerous, but it is cancer. He has a wife and two young boys. They're ages 6 and 9, and he'll be on chemo pills for 3 years, taking one pill every day as a prevention for further tumors to grow. So at the time, he's still able to work, but he's, you know, his body is taking the hit with low blood counts, and we would just appreciate prayer for Rob and Jen and their two little boys that they would feel God's presence and his peace and pray for some healing. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing, Diane. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? And if you're uncomfortable sharing in this way, you can always find me afterwards, or you can call the church office, or send me an email, and we're happy to pray for you privately as well. Sometimes it can be a little hard sharing in front of a group. I did have another prayer request to be read on behalf of Erna Cornelson. Erna is quite ill and is resting at home, so the family requests our prayers for her recovery. All right, well, let's pray together. At the end of my prayer, I'll invite you to do the Lord's Prayer with me, and we'll have that up on the screen. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are just, that you are merciful, and that you invite us to walk humbly alongside you, that you are a God who draws near so that we may walk alongside you. Lord, guide our feet in just paths. Guide our feet to care for those host peoples, for our neighbors across the street, our neighbors throughout this country, our neighbors throughout the world. Lord, work on us, work on your people, your church, to bring about your new hope, your new life, and your resurrection power here on earth as it is in heaven. Open our eyes and our hearts so that we can see people as you see them and love them as you have loved us. As we think about all that you have blessed us with, Lord, we ask that you take our tithes and offerings that we give and use them to advance your kingdom in word and deed through this people here and throughout the greater church that we support. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I was going to mention for the first song, if we'll have the lyrics up there, we're having the lyrics up for this song as well. Some people might recognize it. It's a very new song. Certainly for us it is, but if you see the words and you want to sing along and catch a tune eventually, then please do.
Good news for the shamed. There is good. Good morning. For today's scripture reading, if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it is on page 751. And the scripture reading today is from Nehemiah 2, verses 9 to 20. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Zanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. But when Zanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it."
We get to continue through the book of Nehemiah this morning as we see Nehemiah move from prayer to prayer and action to now the repercussions of those initial actions. We talk about following God's call. But what does that mean? Which direction are we going when we're following God's call? How do we even know how to hear God's call? And maybe even if we can hear it, what does it mean for us to really listen? I remember someone said of a person who we thought was hard of listening and wasn't listening to us, and she said, "Well, she can hear fine, she just doesn't listen." Hearing and listening are very different things. My children hear fine. So a little Bible background again, and we'll go over this a little faster each time as we get used to what's going on. So we see God's chosen people, the people following in the ancestry of Abraham, have been delivered out of slavery. So we're skipping over lots of Bible story here. And with a purpose, right? To be a light to the nations. This is what it meant for them to follow God's call, to be a type of people that points others to God. But they heard, but did they listen? They had been unfaithful. And part of the repercussions for being unfaithful were that this Babylonian empire will carry off these people into exile. But they continue to have this hope to return home and be a light to the nations. Again, to follow God's call as they were meant to do. Later we see the Persian Empire overtake Babylon, and that's where our story starts to pick up in Ezra and Nehemiah. For those of you who did your homework, and I know there's at least one of you, reading Ezra, Ezra and Nehemiah are one book. There are echoes all throughout Nehemiah that come out of Ezra. And if you'd really like some Bible history homework, if you read through Jeremiah, which is really long, and I'm sorry, if you read through Jeremiah, it talks about why they're going into exile and what those hopes are in the first place. So for Nehemiah, we're going back to BCE 445. And that's where we first meet Nehemiah. So in the first chapter, we see that this is Nehemiah's recollection of events. He's telling his own personal story, this person who longs for a home he's never known. He's lived in exile his whole life, and he longs to see Jerusalem rebuilt. And as he prays, he realizes, well, you know what? I'm cupbearer. Maybe I can do something about it. Last week, we looked at the first few verses of chapter 2, and we see Nehemiah takes the leap. The king responds. God moves in the king's heart. Nehemiah continues to pray, and then Nehemiah asks for everything. He does not hold back. He asks for everything he possibly can. This faithful response of prayer, of plan, of action, and prayer again and again, showing in Nehemiah's life. And that's where we pick things up at verse 9. So verse 9, we now see him carrying the king's word. I went to the governors, I gave them the king's letters, and I love this line here. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. Remember we said Nehemiah asked for everything. He didn't ask for this. God not only provides through this king, but provides things Nehemiah didn't even know he needed. Then there's Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, which, as we all know, are Hebraic names. These are names that reference, these are people who honor Yahweh, the God of Israel, in some way. It echoes in their names, but they have been left behind. They are sorting things out for themselves and have risen up the ranks in their own way. They hear that the Jewish people are heading back to rebuild Jerusalem. And they're disturbed that someone has come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. And then I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, or some translations will say resting there for 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. And by night, I went through the valley gate, and we see him start looking the city over, seeing all of the destruction. And he hasn't told anyone about this secret trip, learning what it's about. Then he goes to the people and he says, "You see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we'll no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God, how God's been with me, and the king has even been with us as well." So they replied, "Let's start rebuilding." And so they began the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and now there's a third person, and Geshem the Arab heard about it. Geshem will be another kind of leader in an area more powerful than the previous two. They mocked and ridiculed us. "What's this you're doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" Echoes of why the city hasn't been rebuilt in the first place. They had started rebuilding at one point back in Ezra, and then the king had been told that these people are going to rebel against you. We better stop them. And so he stopped it, and he tears things down. So they're bringing up that same complaint. "Are you rebelling again?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you," this almost threatening reply, "you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. It doesn't matter what you're saying in your name. Your lives are telling a different story." And that concludes chapter 2 of Nehemiah. So we see Nehemiah here faithfully following God's call. And that includes some interesting aspects here. He starts out getting to Jerusalem and doing what? Resting for 3 days. Out of that rest, we then see that he goes and he looks the city over. And what's interesting is the way he looks the city over. He sees all of the destruction, and he isn't overcome by how terrible things are. He sees where things can be rebuilt. He doesn't just see things through these rose-colored lenses. He knows it's bad, but he sees hope nonetheless. And then he goes to the community, and he engages the community. Come, let us build together. Not just that, I'm going to share this great story of what God has already done in my life, what he's doing for all of us, and that the king is even on our side. Let's do this together. And then we see when they come up against opposition, they don't just rely on the fact that the king has sent cavalry, the king has sent army officials with them. Nehemiah's first response isn't, well, the king said we could do this, which is what he could have said. He says, no, our God, the God of heaven, is the one who is leading us in this work, and we are servants, not firstly of the king, but of God. We trust, and we're going to go and do this thing, even though we know in the past you've been able to work against our efforts. See, the trouble for us is that rest doesn't come often, maybe especially anymore. We are a people who are too busy. There's so many things drawing at our time. We are a people who are too tired. How could we even find time for rest in the midst of our busyness? We're just exhausted with so much going on. How could we ever rest? And then seeing Nehemiah's vision, how he's able to see things in this somehow positive light, even though he's being realistic. Well, sometimes it's hard for us to see things as God sees them. There's so much going on in this world, so much trouble. God's plans certainly seem blurry to me very often. And then Nehemiah engages in a community. Well, have you ever met a community before? Have you ever had a meeting of a group of people? We'll all just agree immediately. It can be complicated in community. Just because a few of us might think that we see a clear vision of what God's calling us to, there's other people who also see a clear vision, which is entirely different. How do we discern that out? It's complicated working together. And then Nehemiah trusts, not just in how smart he's been, because he's been pretty smart. He's gone about this the right way. Not just in all of the permits and other stuff that he's collected. He continues to trust that God is working, even in the midst of all these other things going right. But it's difficult for us because, if we're honest, there are plenty of reasons for us to look around and see doubt. Even for Nehemiah, as those three people come to him, they're reminding him that, remember last time we sent a letter to the king because you guys keep rebelling. You're a rebellious people. And we're going to tear all this down again. Lots of reason to doubt, but Nehemiah continues to have faith, continues to put his hope in what God has already done and what God is continuing to do. So for us, as naturally I'll always point us to, we look to Jesus. Jesus is the one who invites us to rest, to a way of life that is refreshing, it's life-giving. It's not meant to draw us away from all those other things and take up all of our time. It's meant to free up our time in such a way that we're able to slow down. We're able to live life at the rhythm it's meant to be lived and love people along the way. And Jesus gives us a different kind of vision. Not the vision that looks up and sees just great things for us in the future, but a vision that sees us following his example of a servant's heart. A vision that doesn't just look up in hope, but looks down and sees dirty feet that are to be washed along the way. People to be served and loved as we go. And we see that Jesus was a part of a messy community. As we're about to participate in communion this morning, I'll recognize that all those people around the communion table with Jesus that first time will all run away. They'll deny knowing him. They'll scatter. Some will doubt. Some will strike out in violence. And one of them will sell him out. Community can be messy. But Jesus still works through community. Jesus centers our community. We aren't a church of people who agree on everything.
Church isn't people who all agree. Church is people who agree that we're going to put aside our preferences, our desires, ourselves. We'll deny even ourselves to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Jesus at the center there, and sometimes that can be messy and blurry, but we're going to go and work together to follow that, even when it doesn't make sense. And we see that Jesus continues to be trustworthy. Jesus is that good shepherd who leaves the 99 to find the one. Jesus is the gentle one who picks us up along the way when we can't go any further. So what will this mean for us? What does that mean? What does it mean to hear God's call? Well, maybe it should start more with knowing God's call. Not just hearing, but knowing in a way that's known deep inside, and that comes from knowing Jesus. We know the call because we know the one who's calling. We know where we're called to go because we know where Jesus would go and what Jesus would do, so we're going to try doing that. And that's going to start with slowing down. We don't act and serve God just to keep ourselves busy, though it can feel like that sometimes. We serve God first by slowing down, taking that time to pray, taking that time to listen, and out of our rest, we then serve. We're encouraged to look out, to look up, to look down, to look and to start to see the world as Jesus sees it. Not just for all of the destroyed walls that Nehemiah sees, but to see places that can be rebuilt. Nehemiah has this great heart where God has worked on him, and he sees what it will look like before it could ever look that way. How will we see how God sees so we can build as God would build? We are encouraged to go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. There's something about following Jesus and being Jesus' church where I myself and you, yourself, could never show someone the fullness of the love of Jesus. We're flawed people. But there's something about community together, this imperfect group working where somehow God works in and through us to show that love anyway. That's why the community of God is so beautiful, because we have all of our flaws, and it is in those flaws mixed together that we're able to love as Jesus loves. And will we trust? It's one thing to think about building. It's one thing to think about hearing a call and, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. It's another thing to go and work through those hard things faithfully and to trust that even when things go wrong, we're going to keep building because we recognize that God hasn't called us to a success that just everything works out. See, success that God calls us to is faithfulness. Trusting along the way. We might not know what the end will bring. We might not know exactly how those walls will be rebuilt, but we trust that if it is God who's calling us to do it, we will keep putting one brick on top of the other so that brick by brick, either the walls are rebuilt or God is rebuilding something in us. We continue to be invited to follow. To follow, not just to hear the call, not just to wonder what would Jesus do, but to find opportunities prayerfully to embody that love so that where we go, people will be loved in the name of Jesus because we will love as Jesus loves. That is what it means for us today to follow God's call. How would Jesus love? Let's try that. How would Jesus see someone else? May our hearts be changed to see them in the same way. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of vision, that you see things not just as they are, but as they could be fully redeemed, renewed, and brought into something beautiful. Lord, give us eyes to see and hands to serve you so that we might follow your call to love others as you loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. I was going to say Pastor Ken because we just went to visit him last weekend. And he sends greetings, sure. Please stand and join us to sing the last song, When We Walk with the Lord.